This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Tehran, January 2025, in these last hours. A man who, unidentified at the time, is said by the reporting at Radio Free Europe to have stabbed a security guard with a knife, taken the security guard's weapon away from him, and proceeded to walk in on Judge Mohammad Moghish and Ali Razini, two senior figures in the judiciary of Tehran's government. This is in the Tehran's Palace of Justice, and shoot them dead. Bang, 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 bang. Other security guards then closed in on the shooter, and according to the report given out by the regime, he took his own life. That's what we have. And I welcome someone to unpack this, because as with most thrillers, it's only a piece of the story, why and who and what. The first thing is, who were the dead men? All three of them. What do we know? I welcome Dr. Saeed Ghasemi-Nejad, Senior Advisor for Iran and Financial Economics at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing most recently about this double murder and suicide. Why? Saeed, a very good evening to you. The shooter, we do last. The two judges are prominent, I learned from your reporting, involved with extrajudicial killing. What do we need to know about them? What is the possible explanation for the motive of the shooter? Good evening to you.
Hi, and thank you for having me. So these two judges are really the cream of cream of the, you know, criminal gangs of the regime. They were members of the regime's Supreme Court. Both of them have, as you said, they had a long history of ordering execution, working with the security and intelligence forces for torturing, because in Iran, if you want to torture, you generally need a judge order, because it's a, you know, it's the torture is based on the Sharia law, so you need like these mullahs to confirm it. And really, they have over like the past for decades, these two persons, they have killed a lot of people. They have been involved in murdering and torturing of a lot of people. And Moghish specifically was very nasty, really, in like his personal conduct, the way he treated the prisoners, their family. He was very nasty. I have heard a lot of, I haven't been tried by him myself. I was tried by another hanging judge called Salavati, but I heard about Moghish from my friends and other people that he was such a nasty creature. And really, there wasn't, I haven't seen a lot of people, you know, being upset about these two judges being dead.
What do we know about the shooter, Saeed?
So the shooter, the regime itself says he was a janitor in Iranian. It's called abdurchi. It's not a specifically janitor. It's someone who brings you tea and these things like that. I don't think we have it here in the U.S. You have to go get your tea yourself. But so it's told that he was the son of a martyr of the Iran-Iraq war. He was like in his 30s. He has been working in the judiciary, I think, for something like a decade. And this building, you have to know, this is a very secure building. It's not the normal, you know, court. It's the Supreme Court. People who are there, they are vetted. They are usually from the sections of societies, the families that have a history of supporting the regime. Like this guy, it's told that he was, as I said, the son of a martyr. So that's what makes it significant. But I have to say, we really don't know who he is, because they say that he took the gun from like one of the guards, killed these two judges, and then killed himself by shooting himself in the heart. I talked to like people who are weapon experts, who are doctor, like ER doctors. They say this is a very, you know, very strange story. Usually, if you want to kill yourself, you don't kill yourself by, you know, shooting yourself in the heart. You usually do it like the head or in your mouth. And based on the weapon that he has used, the weapons experts, you know, people from with background in military security, they told me like this seems to be someone who really knew how to use this weapon. So the story, it's a bit strange, maybe not true, who knows.
What we have here is either evidence of larger dissent or dissent causing people to take their own lives after leveling the playing field in some fashion. You have many examples of extreme pressure people are under because of the collapse of the economy. You also have indication that it is possible there's organized resistance. So it's a lone wolf, organized resistance, and what would that organized resistance look like if it was in contact with outside forces? Would it look like this? Send in an assassin?
That's possible. I doubt like it would be Israel, who knows. But Israel usually targets, people in the security, people in the missile program, people in the right. Nuclear program. And they usually, they don't end up dead, the person that is doing it on behalf of Israel. They usually leave the area before the regime understands what happened. So it may be Israel, who knows, but looks a bit unlikely to me. If it's Israel, it shows that, you know, they're expanding their operations in Iran. But it's also possible that this is a lone wolf. We have had examples of this. Like, I think it was in the 2023 that the security guard killed a member of the Assembly of the Experts. So this is like, I think, 80-90 people family that they are choosing the next supreme leader. So that's a very high-level target. You had another case that a veteran of the Iran-Iraq War, I think it was in 2024, went and killed the Friday prayer imam in Kazerun in the Fars province. So we have seen like these lone wolves case that has been happening more frequently. We have seen Israel being able to target high value target in Iran, and that also doesn't happen without, you know, people from inside the security and intelligence community helping them. I was talking to a friend in Iran who is usually goes to prison. Sometimes he's out, sometimes he's in. So, you know, someone who has been in prison for a long time. And he was telling me that inside Iranian prison, you see a lot of people from the intelligence and security community who are there for espionage for Israel. So, and these are the numbers that, the Iranian security community can actually catch. There are obviously, given what we see, there are obviously a lot of people inside that community that are working with foreign agencies, specifically Mossad, that are helping them. So why we see this? The reason is that the regime has really failed in a lot of aspects. Like, the regime has failed on the economy. The regime has shown its really brutal face. Like, we have now a lot of people from the sections of the society, the traditional religious people, from the families of the martyrs, that are openly challenging the regime because of what they see as, like, you know, they see it as a regime that's absolutely incompetent. You have, like, you have been having, like, 40%, 40-something percent, 30-something percent inflation for so many years now. The price of dollar was 7 tuman in 1979. Right now, it's around, like, 80-something thousand dollar. You have these people, they're upset about their faith being used by the regime. to justify the atrocities that it's doing inside Iran, outside Iran. And you also have, like, after the Syria debacle, you also have, you see a lot of, like, these people who are really ideologically committed to the regime. They are questioning what happened, who is responsible, why are we losing? So all these elements is really pushing the section of the society, a very smaller and smaller section that has been loyal to the regime. They are actually, we see them breaking up. We see them questioning the regime, and that's very important.
Dr. Saeed Ghassemanejad, Senior Advisor for Iran and Financial Economics at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Killings in Tehran, to be interpreted. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.